Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Please open with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. I'll read verses 1 and 2 for context, but we're landing here on verse 2 as we consider the theme this evening, firm standing with God. Firm standing with God. So I'll read Romans 5, verse 1, which is not up there. I just made an error. It should be up there, but it's not. So just listen to me, and then you'll see it go into right into verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Listen closely. This is God's inspired word. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So in the reading of God's inspired word, let's pause for prayer. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you've heard our song, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on us. We affirm it again in this public prayer, asking you to illuminate our minds with the knowledge of Christ. We pray that you would renew our wills. We pray that you would grant us wisdom and courage to stand firmly in the grace we enjoy through our justification. May it show forth in more vital prayer lives that then bring about your glory and your answered prayers in the lives of our families and loved ones and church, community, and society, and that we would say, surely the presence of the Lord is in our midst. This is our humble prayer. Please hear it through Jesus Christ, we pray. And let us say, amen. Well, several years ago, one of the astronauts who had walked on the moon was interviewed, and he was asked the question, what did you think about as you stood on the moon and looked back at the Earth? And the astronaut replied, well, I remembered how the spaceship was built by the lowest bidder. Christians can be very happy that the work of salvation did not go to the lowest bidder. Your salvation has been won for you through an infinite God and through his most excellent Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no deficiency in what Jesus has done for you and I in our justification. And the more you and I understand our justification and enjoy our justification, which is received by grace through faith alone, assurance will grow in our lives. And that assurance will keep on growing and growing until we see firmly and are convinced in our actions to stand firmly in that grace. Let's read the verse one more time. I'll read it out loud. Look at your Bible. I'm going to read it again. Verse 1 leading into verse 2. Here it is. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, here it is, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Let's stop there. The first point this evening we learn from verse 2 is you have access to God. You have access to God. Justification, we've studied this. It means being right with God. Your sins are forgiven. The goodness of Jesus is applied to you. The sins of you are applied to Jesus on the cross. And that gift, it's called justification, produces many, many benefits. In fact, here in Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, it's a litany of all the benefits. If you ever read Romans 5, 1 through 11 in a straight reading, you'll read it like the cadence of a hymn. There's a cadence to it. You see, back in Romans 1 through 3, we read all about our desperate need to be justified. We are sinners, and it brings misery no matter who you are. Then in Romans 3 and 4, we've studied that as well. It tells us how God justifies us by grace through faith in Jesus. And now we've reached chapter 5. We got a new sermon series name, a new sermon series graphic. That's to let you know we're in new ground. And here in chapter 5, we learn all of the blessings from your justification. And there are so many. Last week, we reveled in the fact that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not simply the peace of God, not simply the subjective feeling of peace with God and your neighbor because of a clear conscience and blessings, but peace with God, which is firm no matter how you feel. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, your justification, your peace with God is in firm standing. Well, tonight, though, we go into verse 2. And here we learn about firm standing with God. And the first part of that firm standing is you have access. You have access to God. Look at verse 2 again. It says, through whom we have gained access by faith. Now let me pause to make a confession. I am from a politically unconnected family. We know no one in power. No one. And so it would be difficult for me to just have access to high powers in our land. I've never been invited to the State House in Lansing. I've never been invited to the White House in D.C. I've never walked the halls of the venerable Capitol Hill. However, there's something interesting about being in a free nation. This can be remedied. All it requires is this. If I follow certain formalities and procedures and make a request, in a bit of time, I can gain access. I can have an introduction to my congressman or my senator, and even perhaps the president of the United States. It's not out of the question. However, if I do not follow the protocols, if I do not follow the proper methods and instead barge into the White House, well, that is a different story. I will be whisked away by Secret Service and be regarded as a person non grata, an unwelcome intruder with no access, zero access. Well, says Paul, justification is the needed protocol to gain access to God. Before Jesus Christ entered our lives, Paul says, you have no access, zero, nada, nothing. You have no right of entry, no introduction. You simply are not invited to the holy God's presence. Why? You're a sworn enemy. You see, as sinners, the wrath of God abides upon us. You would fail every security check into heaven by the heavenly Secret Service if you sought access to God. But when you and I receive Jesus and are declared righteous and justified, well, that changes everything. Jesus introduces us to God. He gives access. We can't come as we are. We're not properly dressed. The prophet Isaiah says our deeds are like filthy rags. So Paul says you must come clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Not only that, before you did not have the right family name to enter. You know, to enter into the White House today, it helps if your last name is Kennedy or Rockefeller or Bush or Clinton. You can get access. But for us, Christ had to give us a new name to access God. He had to adopt us and place us into the family. And so that is why the Bible uses many terms to describe how Jesus gains access for you. For example, the writer of Hebrews calls him our great high priest. The apostle John calls him our advocate. The apostle Paul calls him our mediator. He is called many, many names in the scriptures because Jesus Christ gains immediate access for you and I to the Oval Office of God. We have access. You are welcome. Now, I want you to notice the tense of the verb Paul uses to describe that access. He says, we have gained access. We have gained access. It's a past perfect tense. What that means is that for each one of us, there is a time in our lives when we don't have access. We are not born into this adoption into the living God's family. There was a time that we didn't have access, but Paul says now we do. And that's because justification is a one-time act. It is a once and for all accomplished event. Justification is not a process. It is a one-time act. And so in the life of each person God justifies, it is a split moment in time. God declares us as if we had never sinned in a moment in time, and that is when we put faith in Jesus. And that is when you then gain access. Now, I happen to remember when I gained access to God. You know, if you tell your story of when you first believed in Jesus, you know, for some it's like, I don't know, I can't quite remember. It just sort of happened. It was over time. And for others, it's a real memorable event. And for me, it was memorable. I remember the service. I went and heard the preacher preach, and I responded by faith. And then after the service, he took me into a room and talked to me about baptism and professing my faith. And so I left that church meeting a justified person depending on Jesus. And that meant heaven smiled upon me. And that's true for all who rest by faith in Jesus. You have access to God 7x24x365 through justification. Now, this brings us then to our second point. What kind of access can you expect? I don't know how many here have ever entered the Oval Office, if any of us have, but I've seen it in the movies, and it looks pretty scary in there. It looks like a very uptight place, a place where you are under scrutiny, and one wrong move, and... Well, what is God's Oval Office like through access by Jesus? Look how Paul describes it. This brings us to our second point. You have access into grace. Access into grace. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. Now, when a Christian passes through God's security checkpoint and you follow the proper procedures to reach God, in other words, you're justified by faith, what you find waiting for you in God's high office, in his most holy place, is nothing but grace. Grace floods that place. I love how someone explained to me grace when I was younger. Are you ready? Here it is. Someone once said this: mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. Paul is the apostle of grace. In his letters, someone counted it, not me, but I read it in a book. Someone counted Paul using the word grace over 100 times in his letters. It's a favorite word of Paul. Grace is not something you say before your meals. It is a gift. It is favor. It is unmerited kindness. I've said it before. I love the illustration. If you graduate from university by grace, that means you failed all your exams, turned in no homework, and they still gave you a degree. That is grace, and that is the place God welcomes you into when you walk through the doors by faith, being justified by Jesus. Wow! Wow! And that is amazing. And we receive this grace Paul says here, he alludes to it here, and we'll talk more about it in Romans chapter 6. When you receive this gift of grace, that means you're no longer in a state of being under law. You are no longer under law, you are under grace. Before we were justified and had access to God, God viewed you in a very legal manner, under law. And when you're viewed in a very legal manner, that means it's all business. It's all protocol. It's all law. And he did not look at you and I as sons and daughters, but he looked at us as we were, by the law, rebels. He looked at us not as allies, but as our actions proved us to be enemies. And so when God views us strictly by the book in a legal manner, we're in trouble. But now what we learn is that through justification, God looks at us by grace, favor, something we don't deserve, but because Jesus has done it for us, we are welcome. You are welcome in God's presence like a proud father welcomes a son. When you speak to God in prayer, he delights in hearing you like a grandparent asking you, kids, what do you want for Christmas? Tell me, mom and dad aren't around. Tell me. And when we sing to him, all of heaven applauds, no matter how our notes sound, because you're under grace. In that place, it is all of grace. So let me pause to ask this question of application. What should our lives look like having access to so much grace? Like, how does it show up in the here and now? Well, let me answer this question by saying that this word access Paul uses here in verse 2, he only uses it three times in the New Testament, this word access. He uses it here in the letter to the Romans and twice in the book of Ephesians. Listen to what he says the other two times. Ephesians 2:18, he says, "For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Then in Ephesians 3:12, he says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through him, through faith in him." You know what's really interesting about those two other verses where the word access is used by Paul? Are you ready? He uses the word access in connection to prayer. So since you have access, you can boldly pray. That should make sense, shouldn't it? And it does. And so, dear church, this is the test. Do you truly understand you have access to God? Do you truly understand that you have access to pure, unbridled, unfiltered grace? Well, then, if you truly believe and receive this, then it will show up through bold praying. You will pray with confidence. You will pray frequently. Justified people can be prayer warriors. You understand grace is waiting through you in the Oval Office of God. You've got the pass. You scan the card. You walk right in. Welcome, nothing but grace. And God says, "What do you want, my son, my daughter, my child?" All grace. And it shows up in our prayer life. Hebrews 4:16, a beautiful memory verse so many have learned over the years, says this: "Let us come boldly to the throne of" what? Grace. "That we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need." So you have access to unbridled grace from God. Come with boldness. So the pointed question is, what is the state of our prayer life? In light of this unbridled access. When you remember that God smiles upon you, that he delights to bless you, that he gives you access to pure, unbridled grace in which you stand, doubt must disappear, faint-heartedness must flee, storm the gates of heaven, claim your birthright. One amazing story about bold prayer is told about Martin Luther and his good friend and assistant named Frederick Myconius. One day, Myconius became ill. He was expected to die soon. On his bed, he wrote a loving farewell note to his friend, Martin Luther. But when Luther received it, he wrote the following reply. Here it is. Marconius, I command you in the name of God to live, because I still have need of you in this work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear that you are dead, but will permit you to survive me, for this I am praying. This is my will, and may my will be done, because I seek only to glorify the name of God. Let's pause. That sounds sacrilegious to some, doesn't it? Or is it? Luther's prayer may seem shocking to you, but it was used by God, because historians tell us Marconius, though he had lost his ability to speak when Luther's letter came, in a short time he revived and lived 6 more years, and he survived Luther by 2 months. Luther knew he had access to grace, and, you know, in the style only Luther can do, he just marched boldly right in, and he made his bold request. How about you? Oh, one more third point, a blessing, and it's our final point of our sermon this evening. You have, through justification, access to God. You have, through justification, access to pure grace. And thirdly, you have access such that you can now stand. You can now stand, firm standing. Look at the verse again. We have gained access into this grace in which we now stand. Now, why does Paul use the word stand? There's so many other words he could have used. He could say, into this grace in which we now are, or into this grace in which we now lie down. Those things would be true. But Paul uses the word stand to give the verb more weight. Paul wants us to know that once you have unfettered access to God, who is only filled with grace, that you can stand firm and you can stand fast, because your state of grace is immovable. It ain't changing. Grace can never be taken away from you. Jesus put it this way: no one can snatch you out of God's hand. You and I don't just shuffle into grace and then slip out of grace. We stand in grace. And here Paul is referring to the doctrine of assurance. One who is justified by God through faith in Christ can be entirely assured that they are pardoned. You can look to the future without trembling. You can face judgment day without dismay. You can be assured of right standing with God. And this kind of assurance, as it grows in you and I, it shows up in our daily living. J.C. Ryle loved to write about it. I commend to you his book called Holiness, filled with short little essays. One of them is about assurance. And in that essay, Ryle points out many benefits of assurance. Here's one: peace and joy. He says this: assurance that we are standing in grace makes us patient in tribulations, calm under bereavements, unmoved in sorrow, not afraid of evil tidings, in every condition content. It sweetens our bitter cups. It lessens the burdens of our crosses. It smooths the rough places over which we travel. It lightens the valley of the shadow of death. It makes us always feel that we have something solid beneath our feet. Assurance that we are right with God helps us bear poverty, endure pain and illness, tolerate persecution, and meet death with courage. You can stand in peace and with joy. Another benefit of assurance is that it makes us active and productive in life. You see, those who do most for Christ are those who have confidence that they're right with God. It creates a bounce in your step, zeal for service. You stand in grace. Those who do most for Christ are those not wondering if they really belong to the Lord. Your time does not need to be divided by fear and introspection. Your mind does not need to be taxed by paralyzing uncertainty. You can give undivided attention to serving God because you know you have firm standing. Let me close. Ryle mentions other benefits of assurance of pardon as well, and I do commend his book, Holiness, to you for further reading. But let me just review to you the ones mentioned here by Paul in today's lesson, the benefits of firm standing. In this verse, Paul uses three strong words to describe your firm footing with God. You have access. You have grace, you have standing. And all of that is because of the justification granted to you by Jesus. Justification is not a process in our theology. It is a once and for all act. Once you have it, and then you have access, grace, and standing. You don't get it based on if you were good this week or bad this week. If you did all your devotions like you were supposed to this week, or you got 80% or only 20% or 0%. That does not affect justification. You have standing now. Enjoy it. Grab it. Grasp it. It is so completely sure. It is a perfect and finished work once and for all. You have it. Enjoy it. It is received by grace through simple faith alone in Jesus. Let all God's people agree by saying, amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bold standing we enjoy through the merits of Jesus. We pray that you would give us confidence, peace, and joy in our daily lives. Tomorrow, when the world smacks us on the cheek and we walk forward into life or work or wherever we go, may we remember full access we have to your grace in your most holy place. And we pray that you would give us urgings to pray and to seek you and to plead with our Abba Father to help us in our time of need. Lord, we all stand in need of prayer. We all stand precipitously through life, needing more of Jesus, less of ourselves. And so grant us full access to this grace through urgent and desperate prayer, knowing, O Lord, that you are there to hear. Thank you, O Lord, for this blessing of our justification. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let us all agree by saying, amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.